NFL fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
It is almost a final from American Family Field, the game, the series, and the homestand, but we're going to have to wait just a couple of minutes for that. As the game is deadlocked at 3 in the bottom of the ninth inning, welcome in Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show on the way. We are here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, Tim Allen, Aaron Morse. And it's tied at 3, Mr. Morse, in the bottom of the ninth inning. Sanchi, come on, Sancho, come on, baby. He is leading off the bottom of the ninth.
Four-pitch walk, and Christian Yelich is pinch running.
Yelly to pinch run for Sanchez, so that leaves only Joey Ortiz on the bench. Now it's Jiwon Bae.
He's going to bunt again?
I would assume he's going to bunt after a pitching change. So they're going to go ahead and make the change there. As Jacob Mizorowski started this game, pitched a quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. Victimized by that home run ball again. That is interesting. It's funny how the grading scale is a little bit different depending on what pitcher you're talking about. If this were a Gasser start, we'd say, wow, what a start, you know? If this were Sproat, we'd say, oh, man, quality start. Since it's Mizorowski, we say, yeah, it was okay. See how that works? It's a little bit different. That Cody Clemens two-run home run in that sixth inning with two outs, that was a backbreaker. Bottom of the sixth inning, Brewers with a couple of runners aboard for Bowers, second and third with just the one out. One of the reasons why we're still tied here. Then Ashby in all sorts of trouble, not to his doing, in that seventh inning. There was some really sketchy defense in that frame in the seventh inning. But he worked his way out of it. Abner Uribe started to dig his own hole in that eighth inning and scrimpled his way out of that. And then you get McGill, who just did his thing in the ninth inning. So the bullpen, again, has been dynamite. Look at yesterday's game. Look at today's game. That's without JoJo Romero. So, you know, again, are they running on fumes a little bit in that bullpen? Oh, yeah. We'll get to that throughout the show today. Because going into tomorrow's game in San Diego, not to get ahead of things, but you are really restricted as to who you can go to in that game tomorrow. So Yelly at first base, running for Sanchez, and nobody out in the ninth inning. Now, you want to work that around, get the walk-off victory, and get on a flight and get out west. So, I think the count's now 2-0, correct?
Yes, it is, 2-0.
Yeah, so, let's see what he does here. This is interesting.
It's tough lefty. Does Yelich take off? They've got thrown out twice today with lefties on the mound.
Yeah, not yet. I don't think you take off with nobody out. You let this play out, I think, is what they're going to do. Not sure why they're not bunting here. We'll see. Bunt, there it is. Good bunt.
Wow, that almost hit him. I mean, that is almost hit his shoulder, and he put that down. Perfect bunt, and it almost hit his shoulder.
Got the job done. So runner at second base. There's Christian Yelich. Good speed, obviously. And just the one out. So you get a couple of cracks here at a base hit to win the ball game. And the Brewers are, I want to say, 1-for-6, 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position in this ball game today.
Yeah, I can figure that out. Just a sec. They are 1-for-7.
And so David Hamilton Well, he's already got a nice double. All right, 3 for 8 in the series. Come on, Hambone. What do you say? What do you say, David? Come on, baby. And he's, yeah, swinging a miss. Churio on deck, so you do have a shot. And I wonder if they'll walk. I would assume if they like the matchup. Yeah, they're gonna walk Churio if it when it gets to him. Let's see. I believe you're going to go with Hall in the 10th inning, would be my guess. We'll see if it gets there. All right. Brewers, again, tied at 3. Mizorowski, what do you make of that, Aaron? 6 innings, 3 runs, gave up a couple of home runs, a solo shot, and a 2-run bang by Clemens.
Well, his velocity was down. For the 2 pitches that were hit out of the park, it was 99 miles per hour. And when guys are getting ready for 102 every pitch, 99 is going to speed up their bats just that little bit.
And Hamilton struck out for the second out. So it's up to Jackson. I would assume 4 fingers in the air here.
Yeah it's got to be.
Yeah. He just walks right to first base. So 2 on, I mean, the runner at first doesn't really matter. It's all about Christian Yelich, the runner at second base, as the Brewers try to win this game, winning the series, taking the homestand 5-2. We'll see. Let's see. And a mound visit, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Funderburg in. And he's going to face Terang. Come on, Bryce. Just barrel that up. How do you feel, Aaron? You think they're going to win it?
I haven't felt like they're going to win this game since about the 5th inning. So
I totally agree with you.
It's hard to say because it's been a bad feeling almost the entire afternoon. The second half of this game just hasn't felt good at all.
I just have felt this pending doom ever since the 6th inning. When Bowers hit the pop-up, second, third, one out in that tie ball game, trying to answer back after the Clemens 2-run homer. Come on, Bryce. Let's see one of those doubles. Come on, you doubles machine. Come on, Bryce. You can do this. By the way, Jiwon Bae added, that was the roster move today. Cooper Pratt with the hamstring. That took me by surprise. I did not notice he was fighting anything or had that happen yesterday. That was surprising.
Yeah, but I had no idea.
But that's the case. So they go with Jiwon Bae. And I wonder if this Joey Ortiz injury is a little something more. Aaron, I got to wonder if they zap the system with electricity out on this road trip and just call Fisher.
Potentially, they'd have to add him to the 40 man. That's the big issue.
Well, and you could just let Bae go then.
I guess.
42,731 at American Family Field. Come on, Bryce. Let's go now. Here we go. Just slap a base hit. That's it. 1-2 count. And he works it to a 2-2 count. Not supposed to be doing play-by-play, but sue me. Just sue me. It's all right. But I wonder if that electricity voltage might help out a little bit. And they bring him up? I don't know.
I don't know. If it hasn't happened yet, I don't know why they would do it now. Like, I feel like they would have done it by now if they wanted to do it. It kind of just screws up their whole plan of control and, you know,
yeah,
40 man and options and
all of that plays right into it.
So it's tough. If he was on the 40 man, I mean it would be a no-brainer. But he's not on it, neither is Blake Burke, and so they'll be put on this offseason. But
8 pitch at bat and a full count to Bryce Terang. So you get the runners in motion here, right? 2 outs. So everybody moving on the pitch. Come on, Bryce. And he struck out, and we're going to go to extras. In this rubber match, Brewers and Twins tied in the series, a game apiece. Brewers and Twins tied in this ball game, 3-3, into the 10th inning. Now, here's where the strategy comes in extra innings. The more that the few years have gone by, we're finally trying to figure out, you know, what is the best way to manage? What is the best way to, in terms of strategy, play it when you're the home team or road team? And I'm starting to think on a couple of different things. Based on matchups, who's coming up? Let's say from the Twins' perspective. The home team, it's pretty easy. When you're tied, meaning you held them off the board in the top half, you're tied in the bottom half, you play for the run. And you just bunt him over and see if you can get a sac fly. Now, on the other hand, once you bunt him over, the strategy would be to intentionally walk who's ever up to set up that double play. So I get that part. That seems like an easy task. Now, if you're the road team, I was thinking about this the other day and have a conversation with a friend of mine about it. In extra frames, when you're the road team, there would be times where I would play for the one run, Aaron. I would. And here's why. It depends on who's pitching for you. You know, once you take that lead, if indeed you get that lead, you play for a run, you get it. And that's the only run you get. Who's pitching for you? How's he been doing recently? And who is he facing on the other side? Who's he facing on the home team? And the bottom line would be, I just like a lead. I don't care where and when. Most times I like a lead. So let's see how the Twins play this out. The consensus is, in the few years this has been instituted, is that, you know, if you're the visiting team, you play for the crooked number. You play for the big inning. Because if you just get the one run, you know, that winning run is still at home plate. But I like a lead. And I'll point back to, look at the mess that Ashby was in. Got out of that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the mess that Uribe was in. Got out of that, didn't he? I like leads. And so depending on those factors, who's going to pitch the bottom half in extras for me if I'm the visiting team, and who's coming up in their order? That's where I'm at with this. And I'm not saying that I would do that every time. But occasionally I would. I'd play for the one run and take that lead. You don't need a hit. That's the thing here. With a runner at second base, nobody out, you don't need a hit to score that run, and you take the lead. I mean, look at the feel, Aaron, that with a one-run lead in the bottom half, it would just be like giving up a leadoff double to work around.
It kind of forces the home team also to maybe think a little bit differently about how they want to manage. Like, instead of just playing, then they're like, okay, well, I don't know, should we bunt them over, should we play small ball instead of, you know, maybe if it's zero, you know, if it stays tied, maybe they just look for a base hit three times, or I don't know, it might change their strategy as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do enjoy this new rule the last couple of years. I really do.
I'm glad they don't do it in the postseason.
Yeah, the postseason, yeah. I would agree. Let that thing play out. Make sure you earn it.
Yeah.
The only thing I guess I dislike is that you're changing the rules for the postseason. I mean, but, you know, that's the center stage. That's the spotlight. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get it.
It's tough to basically give somebody a runner when it's so hard in the postseason to get runners on, it feels.
Yeah. You got a little pop-up, shallow left field. All right, it's a big first out for Hall. By the way, D.L. Hall pitching the top of the 10th inning in a 3-3 ball game. See, that there's the mark right there. Again, I would be so tempted to play to get the run right there just so I can look at the scoreboard and say, hey, man, I have the lead. I need three outs in a certain way. Now, I say a certain way because, you know, they can
stay in the park. Stay in the park.
He got it!
Oh, my gosh.
He caught it!
What a catch.
There you go, Luis.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, runner moves to third, but two down.
He's down, though, and they just use Yelich as a pinch runner. The only player they have left on the bench is Joey Ortiz, who has a neck and scapula injury.
Yeah. What a catch. Second great catch from Lara in this game. He's up.
They gotta give him as much time as they can get to get him to walk that off. Because
who hit that ball?
That was Cody Clemens.
Of course it was.
Yeah, nearly sent it out of here. Yeah.
Lefty on top of that. DL Hall, you got to step up, man. You need an out. You need an out, DL Hall.
Yeah, knee first into the fence, into the chain link. I think that's probably what got him, I think. Side of his body, then into the fence as he caught it in between the fence and the padding, one of the paddings over in right field.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's good to go. That's huge, because the only player they have left, again, is a player who's hurt.
Hall, be careful on the first pitch here. That's all I got to say, dude. I would waste it. You got two bases open. Do not feed a fastball to just simply, quote, try and get ahead. Just waste a pitch. This should be a chin or eye-high fastball. If he wants to go ahead and swing, go ahead. All right, we'll see what happens. Runner at third, two down, top 10, 3-3, Brewers and Twins. Oh, this is, come on, DL Hall. Fouled back. Ooh, okay. Brooks Lee, tough guy to strike out, at least in this series he has been.
Yeah, the Twins don't necessarily have, like, any star players, especially with Buxton hurt right now.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of guys who are just kind of like the Brewers, just grinders, good baseball players, nothing special.
Yeah.
Cody Clemens, Brooks Lee, a couple of those guys. Royce Lewis is starting to figure it out a little bit, although I think Twins fans are a little bugged with him over and over. But they just got a bunch of guys who are just kind of like, you again?
Yeah, you know, scrappers.
Just, yeah.
All yeah. right. Swing and a miss. He's got Hall, you're one strike away now. Come on. Oh, boy. Come on, DL. Come on, Hall and Oates. Let's see it. Get out of this thing. 10th inning. We're going to take a break after this inning here, half inning. And then we'll re-rack and come back. Yeah, there you go, DL Hall. Scoreless 10th inning. There you go.
Well, just like we thought when we were coming on. How about let's get a walk off on the air when we in the bottom of the 10th. How about
that's
that?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Has it happened on the air?
I don't know.
Maybe.
We came close last week, I think. We got close. It happened just before we came on the air.
You got to win this game. All right, Pottawatomie Sportsbook post-game show is on the way when this thing goes final. In the meantime, we'll walk you through what's going on. It is a 3-3 tie, Brewers and Twins. It's game three of this three-game series. It's the final game of the seven-game homestand, and the Brewers have a chance to walk it off. There's going to be the automatic runner at second base, and I want to say that's going to be Lara. Is that who it's going to be? I believe so. No? Churio, then...
It might be the pitcher. I think it'll be DL Hall. Right?
That might be okay.
Who who got out? Terang. Terang will be on base.
Bryce, so you got okay. Good speed. All right, stick around. We'll walk you through this. Hopefully a walk-off victory. We're here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen and Aaron Morse and the Brewers tied. We'll be right back. It is a final seconds ago as the Brewers walk off the Minnesota Twins to take the game and the series. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Wow, a 4-3 thriller at American Family Field. Oh, man, in 10 innings, who needs to bunt in the bottom of that 10th inning, right?
I don't know, Tim. Someone wanted to bunt.
Oh, I was praying for the bunt by Contreras. He struck out on three pitches, but Jake Bowers got another shot. Now, you may recall Jake Bowers in the bottom of the sixth inning. popped up a ball with runners at second and third and just the one out. He had runners at first and second, just the one out in this one. And he lashes a base hit. And Terang comes around third and gets that left hand in there. And the Brewers win it and now reach a high watermark at 74-44 of 30 games over 500. What's going on, folks? The game ends, the series ends, and the homestand ends, and all those results are good. They beat the Twins today, taking 2 of 3. They took 3 of 4 over the Pittsburgh Pirates, and now they cruise out west feeling good about a 5-2 homestand. You did exactly what you're supposed to do on this homestand as we welcome you in. There's Aaron Morse, Tim Allen, and the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line is there for you at 414-677-1250. Wow. I mean, come on. You got to love this one as the Brewers get the victory. We'll get to your calls here in just a second, but we'll go back to Jacob Mizorowski. And he started this ball game 6 innings of 3-run ball. All right, normally we would say, hey, man, that's really good. It is pretty good. See how the standards are different for Miz? We expect a little bit more, but we'll take that. That is a performance by this team. And I will say this. I don't know how you guys felt as 42,731 come out of American Family Field. I don't know how you guys felt. But this game felt a little sketchy at times, meaning, are they going to win this game? Are they, I don't know if they're going to win. It felt several times like they were a nanosecond away from losing. And they stay in the fight, and they take this game. You have Mizorowski giving up the 2-run home run to Clemens in that 6th inning that tied the ball game. Brewers come right back, put up a traffic jam in the bottom of the 6th, leave some base runners stranded. That stays 3-3 through 7, 3-3 through 8. Now in the 7th inning, Aaron Ashby, all sorts of base runners. That defense was really dicey there in that 7th inning. But he works his way out of it. Abner Uribe in the 8th inning, defense, his own defense, with a bad throw and some control problems in that 8th inning. He works out of that. Both of those innings, you're thinking, it's just a matter of time before the Twins just knocks one into the gap or something. Didn't happen. So it stayed tied at 3-3 into the 9th inning where Trevor McGill locks down, does his job, top half of the 9th. Brewers are empty in the bottom half. We go into extras into the 10th inning. D.L. Hall is summoned from the bullpen. And we'll get into some strategy on extra inning games here. You know, you wonder at times if the visiting team wouldn't play for a run. The Minnesota Twins didn't, and most teams visiting don't, because somebody of authority said, you got to play for the crooked number, you have to, and then everyone just believed it. I just don't agree with that across the board. I'll get to that in a little while. But D.L. Hall ends up getting some help, a great grab from Luis Lara. He made a couple of plays defensively in right field in this ball game. That was off the bat of Cody Clemens, and it put a runner at third base, however, with 2 outs. Got out of that, and it set the table in the bottom of the 10th inning. When Terang's the automatic runner at second base, they immediately walk Mitchell. There's a strategic part of extra innings right there. When they first implemented the extra innings, I would do that most times to set up that double play. I would, and a lot of times it wouldn't even matter on the matchups. I just need that chance because you're running on fumes at that point. So that's what the Twins did, and I didn't argue with that. Where I would argue is William Contreras in the bottom half. Now, keep in mind, 3 weeks ago he had a walk-off 3-run home run. So, I mean, I get Murphy letting him swing away there, but it was 3 pitches later he struck out. I would have bunted there. He's not on a good roll, William Contreras, right now with the stick. He is really, really feeling it and fighting it. I would have bunted right there. You don't even need a hit at that point to win a baseball game. He strikes out, and then Jake Bowers comes up. And Jake Bowers, he wanted a redo from that sixth inning. He got it and got the job done. It was a RBI base hit, and the Brewers get the victory. Nicolay Law talking text line. You want to play that highlight? Let's do it.
1-2. Bowers, base hit. Here comes Terang. Here comes the throw. Terang. It's safe. It's safe. And the Brewers win. And it's over. Call is confirmed. Jake Bowers with a walk-off single. And the Brewers beat the Twins 4-3.
What a game, what a series, what a homestand. Those results are good. The Brewers now 74-44. 30 games over 500. Chicago. Nope, not yet. Not yet. You're not going to make too many people nervous sitting 5.5 back. The Cubs did get the victory today. But there it is, the 4-3 final in 10 innings. They take the series 2-1. They take the homestand after taking 3-4 against the Pirates. 5-2 homestand. You feel really good after that homestand. This bullpen has been amazing. You want to talk about, I'll tell you what, in this homestand, I don't know if too many would disagree with this. The MVPs of this homestand, the 7-game homestand, clearly the bullpen. Without a doubt. You're winning all of these games, all 5 of them close games. High leverage, high intensity. You know, teams that really are fighting. I mean, the Brewers, I'm not saying are in cruise control at all. But, I mean, they're in a much more comfortable situation than the Pirates and the Twins. Both of those teams, just a handful of games away from a playoff spot, they're coming in with guns a-blazing. Yet, what happens? The Brewers' relievers got this thing done. We need to take a look at some of those numbers for Brewer relievers in this homestand. They were outstanding. I mean, yesterday they went, 4-2/3? 4 1/3 of hitless baseball. Let alone scored upon. Today, high leverage, traffic jams all over the place. And they come out and wiggle out of those jams and get the job done, including D.L. Hall in that top of the 10th inning. All right, Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. You want to take a break or what do you want to do?
Yeah, we can take some calls first.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we can go to Mike in Greenfield.
Mike, what do you say? A 4-3 victory to take the series.
I get excitable. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was just so pumped watching that. Is this fun or what? I mean, they're having some scuffles. I'm hoping that our 4 big guns start hitting, but it hurts to see Contreras like that. But anyhow, like I said, I got so jacked up watching that win, I thought, I got to call in, and so I'm just telling you, if you're not enjoying this season, there's something wrong with you. But my wife and I go to a game and make sure at least once a year. Older people don't travel so well. But anyhow, she was afraid she was a jinx. The last game we went to, they won 8-1, and she gets cooking when she watches, when she's at a game, she starts yelling, so... Go Brewers.
That's cool.
And enjoy it, man. I'm anxious to listen to the calls. They'll have more to say than I did. But great day, Tim.
Thank
Love
you, Mike. Enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy it. It is a 4-3 victory. Mike's been calling a long time. I wonder now that the Brewers are gonna, do their press duties, pack up and head to Mitchell and get out of here out west. Also, throwing this out there at you on the Nicolay Law talking text line, 414-677-1250. Be super realistic. They head to a 7-game West Coast couple of series. And on this trip, they're going to face three against the San Diego Padres and four against the Dodgers in L.A. Be realistic about this. What would you be happy with coming out? What do you expect? What do you think they'll get? What would you be extremely disappointed with or overjoyed with? Now, I think some people are going to play it safe and say, well, if you go 3-4-4-3, I'd be all right with that.
West Coast road trips are different, right? It's tough. It's like, oh, okay, are you okay with 3-4 on a road?
I'm not.
You're not really.
No.
So then you have to go 4-3, which means you have to probably split and win the series.
You're going to have to win one of those series.
Yeah.
At least one of those series has to be a win to get to 4-3.
And that's tough. I mean, the Dodgers and Padres is about as tough of the West Coast trip as you can get.
That's true. Yeah, I'm with you there. It's about as tough as you can be out there, yes. Dodgers and Padres. Padres fighting it, too. Making some moves, got a little bit better. Casey Mize on the hill tomorrow in game one. He was blown up in his first start in a Padres uniform. But what would you guys say on that road trip and this victory tonight? I don't know. These guys just keep doing what they're doing. It may not look pretty at times. And I think that has brought upon some negativity for this team. Sometimes it just doesn't look good while they win. That's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's the sign of a good team. It's the sign of a good team, which is kind of lame to say, but it's a sign of a good team.
When you're not playing your best and you still win, that's the sign of a great team. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and get some more reaction here. That West Coast swing upon us. We're going to be joined by our buddy Pipe Bomb coming up in a little while. Stick around for that. A roster move. They're beat up with injuries now. Cooper Pratt to the IL. Joey Ortiz couldn't play today. Basically, emergency situation. They were down to this close of losing their DH today. Had this game gone on a little bit.
That'd
a lot
sweet.
To unpack here. Yeah, that's crazy. just crazy. A 4-3-10 inning victory. You're listening to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. You might be coming out of American Family Field right now feeling good, and you should. It's a Brewers 4-3-10 inning win. Welcome back, Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen with Aaron Morris. Little problem with our YouTube feed here. I don't know, weather impacting a lot of things, including our State Fair broadcast today, but there'll be many chances for us to get out to State Fair the rest of the run. You may be headed to State Fair right now and do the double dip. How about the trifecta?
Trifecta?
You hit the ball game. Yeah, you hit the ball game today. You head to State Fair for a few hours, and then you head to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. How about that? I want to get your response on this. Nicolay Law, talk and text line at 414-677-1250. Let's switch things up here, Aaron. We'll go to John first because he's leaving the game at American Family Field. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. How are you gentlemen doing?
More important, how you are.
I'm doing great. I'm driving back to Racine from the stadium with my beautiful wife, Helen. Had a great game. And just to go, you know, first of all hands on deck, you know, you gotta so much appreciate that. You know, when Miz goes up 3-1, you think it's pretty much a done deal. So the tenacity to stick with it. And then Lara's two catches are unbelievable. You know, that second one is, they're both amazing. And, what was the third point? I had the Lara kid. Oh, nobody left. You know, we're sitting there, and you know how you people start 7th, 8th inning trying to beat the traffic? We're there in the 10th inning, and there's like 39 of the 42,000 people still. I mean, I really haven't seen the seats stay that full, I think, all year. So props to the Brewers fans.
Absolutely. All right, John, be safe on your way back to Racine. We appreciate your response and your participation.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, you got it. Yep, you got it. Yeah, that's interesting. I think that no matter what the situation, I think a lot of times there's a certain percentage of folks that want to beat the traffic, especially on a Sunday. I think you want to kind of head out, just sneak out just a little bit early. But, man, according to John, most stayed. That is cool. All right, we'll go to Will. Will, you're next up on the Nicolay Law Talking Text Line.
Hey, so first off, when we were watching the game, we're texting in the guys' group chat and saying this might be the game of the year.
Oh.
And you watch that, and you see a kid like Lara doing what he did, and then you see the rest of the guys coming through clutch at the end of the game. This might turn the tide on what was already a great season to an excellent season, and I expect 105 wins now.
Over 100 wins. And sometimes it doesn't look great, but the ledger says, if you look at the bullpen, and I'm all fired up about this bullpen. They've been amazing, and they're one man down doing all this. Of the six-man rotation, but they threw four scoreless innings against a pretty good Minnesota Twins offense. They score their fair share of runs, and it was the highest of high leverage with a bunch of traffic. Sometimes the defense set that table, and sometimes command did. But four scoreless in a game like this, that was big.
Again, it wasn't pretty, but it was Brewers baseball.
Do we mind as a Brewers fan base how it looks? Will, do we?
No,
do we
I don't care how it looks as long as you get a win. Okay. It doesn't matter how ugly it is, how pretty it is. If you get a win, it's a win. It doesn't count any more or less whether it's pretty or ugly.
Yeah, we'll take it. So how do you think they'll do? Seven games out west, Padres for three, Dodgers for four.
So I would love to see 5-2, but I'll be happy with 4-3. I don't care where you get them. Doesn't matter to me. But you go 4-3 on a West Coast trip, I'm going to be happy. And I'll be good to go.
All right, very good. Will, thanks for participating. Nicolay Law Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250. We'll go to Brian. Brian, you're going to be next here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I have a couple quick comments, and I want to hear your answers. I think, realistically, I'd be happy with 4-3. I'd even be satisfied with 3-4. I mean, the Brewers are banged up. They're going out west. That's tough enough to do if you're healthy. I would be happy with 3-4 because I don't think the Cubs are going 7-0. They don't play consistent. They're just as easy to win five and lose five in a row. But my thing is, can the Brewers ever, because they make Brewers fans punch drunk. You know, it's like going to the wedding with the best-looking girl and leaving at midnight with the Uber driver. They have these great seasons for several years now, and they get to the playoffs, and it's like everybody's headed to rehab. All the fans are headed to rehab. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's the same thing over and over. And I just wish they would just make a blockbuster trade, just at least to say we tried. I mean, since Sabathia, that was really made it worthwhile that year, we're struggling now. They get these guys all season long off the scrap heap, guys that can run faster to their parking lot.
Backwards, though. At this point, it's a moot point. I get it, and there was.
And my other question was, is Miz going to be the new face of Milwaukee? Is he the new Giannis Antetokounmpo? Is he the face of Milwaukee sports across the board for everybody?
Maybe.
You know, when you talk about sports in Milwaukee nationally, is Miz going to be the guy? Because he's just incredible. I mean, once he gets those homers down, he's just tough. And when you're looking for that 103-mile-an-hour fastball, then he gives you one of them lollipop curveballs.
Miz, the face of sports in Wisconsin, or at least in Milwaukee for the Brewers. Yeah. All right, Brian, thank you for the call. Yeah, moving backwards like that, I get it, but we can have those conversations in the offseason. Right now, this is about a whole mess of fun. 74-44. And just sailing along, just doing what they do. Here's something to think about during the break here. They're fighting some injuries. Jiwon Bae was added to the roster. Former Met. Joey's Joey Ortiz is dinged up. Cooper Pratt was added to the IL with a hamstring. Left side of that diamond. Just saying. What about a spike of energy as the Brewers head out west? And it shocks everybody. And Andrew Fisher is called up to meet the team in San Diego. You remember Ryan Braun's debut in San Diego? I don't know. Just saying, maybe it's that spark of energy. Could you imagine Andrew Fisher at Dodger Stadium? War paint and all? Ooh, let's go. I don't know. Just maybe it's just dumb fan wishful thinking. I don't know, but that would be something, wouldn't it? All right, we got an hour to go yet. Pipe Bomb will join us, and you guys can jump in here. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. 10 inning, a 4-3 victory. There's Aaron Morris, Tim Allen talking about it tonight. They walk off the Twins, taking the series 2-1, and the homestand 5-2 on that homestand, 30 games over 500. Let that marinate. We'll be right back here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Getting back to your calls here and your reaction on the Brewers situation and this victory here. This feels good. Hey, by the way, those of you that listen every day, you guys know we kind of got running storylines across the board. We'll get to your calls in just a second. I won't spend a lot of time on this. Since I broke out my good luck charm, and which is my Cleet Boyer glove, this team is 5-1.
Let's go, Cleet.
Just saying, this glove I bought in 1975 for 75 cents at 7 Mile Fair. Lots of sevens there. All right, they get the 10-inning, 4-3 victory today to take the game, the series, and the homestand. Ends up at 5-2. Let's get back to the Nicolay Law talking text line at 414-677-1250. John in Eau Claire, what's going on, John?
Great victory. You guys do have the best lineup in sports radio and post-game show. You guys are the best.
Thank you, John.
But I'm just, maybe I'm going to want a little reassurance-seeking or a downer here. Or just I'm a little bit concerned about Miz because everyone, fans, announcers, and you're the expert. He's the second coming of whoever you want to say, Burley Grimes, whatever pitcher you want to say. But he does worry me a little bit that if you look back at his games, he doesn't get a lot of run support. I'll give him that from our own team. He doesn't get a lot of run support. But is the home run balls he giving up an issue? And you're the expert, and you can decipher that better than I can. But you can lose a game by striking out a lot of people and giving up home runs in the playoffs.
Yep, no doubt. All right, John, hey, thank you. Thank you for listening. Were you at the game today?
Did we lose him?
All right. Sorry about that, John. I'm going to guess he was just driving back to Eau Claire today. On the Mizorowski thing, Aaron, there's Aaron Morris, Tim Allen here. We were talking off the air about Mizorowski and how the league does adjust to him a little bit. Okay, so put yourself in that situation. I'm not saying you're as good as a Freddie Freeman or a Cody Clemens or whoever's been knocking him for home runs or whatever. But what would your approach be? Your approach would be, I'm just swinging at gas and I'm trying to time him up.
Tim, I every single pitch I would swing like it's 103 miles per hour down the plate and hope the ball.
That's right. And the key there is just your timing. If you can get your timing. So what does that mean in big crucial situations? Miz is going to have to readjust. Now, we've noticed at the beginning of games, oh, there's no chance. I mean, until they can start timing up the fastball, you stick with it. But I think you're going to have to make some adjustments, slight adjustments, down the line a little bit. Let's just fast forward to a big, fifth inning at bat against, I don't know, pick a player. Acuña could be in the postseason against the Brewers. Schwarber, Freeman, Betts. these types of guys. I would put Peter Crow Armstrong in there, but he'll be not a threat by then. He'll cool off. But anyway, they're going to time you up too, and it's that second and third time through. That's when you have to start landing a little off speed. And for him, it's still speed. But what do you think Cody Clemens was looking for? He got 99. You miss your spot, it's going to get hit. These guys can hit fastballs. They can when they're timed up. So you got to be careful there. I just look for it. I'll call it evolution at a much higher level than your normal pitcher. It's going to have to evolve into this more of the, you know, cat and mouse kind of thing. And Contreras and Miz, they'll figure it out. I mean, there's some times where, you know, you throw, what did he throw? Maybe 6 curveballs to 5 today, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
That's going to be spiked in a little bit more, and you're going to buckle. You're going to buckle some knees. So watch for the evolution second and third time through the order. Because the first time, it doesn't appear that he has much problem with anybody. I mean, let's go. All right, let's see. Who is next?
Mike in St. Francis.
That's right. Mike, what do you say? You're on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show.
I ain't going to lie. I'm a little tired from last night's victory, but we're surviving. I don't know how baseball players do it every day, getting up the next day to play 9 more innings, but they do it.
They do.
They're professional. They show up to the game, and they produce. Our role players know their role. I like what Lockridge is doing. I like what Hamilton is doing. Our normal day starters like Churio, Terang, and Bowers are producing, which is nice to see. And when you see that Mizrowski is pitching, you think, okay, maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours most.
Yeah.
A typical Ben Sheets outing, you know, where he's like getting the ball back and throwing it right away, which I really like. But then it turns out to be like a 3-hour game, and we're like, what the heck is going on here? You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I did look up the stat of the day is Pat Murphy's record out west against those two teams, San Diego and LA, was a .438 average. So under 500, but a lot of people are saying like 2-5, 1-6. I'm thinking 7-0 all day. But,
okay, good for you. Yes.
You know, you think positive. You have to manifest victory. You know, basically, if I walk away at the end of this week on Sunday when we're facing Skubal with a 3-4 record on the road, I'll even be happy with 3-4. So, thanks,
all
guys.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, I can't do 3-4. I don't care who they're playing. You can play the almighty gods, whoever they may be, but I just can't. This team is 30 games over 500. I mean, you have to write that in, don't you?
They should win 2 out of 3 against the Padres. They should. They should beat them. They should win that series, and then you should probably split with the Dodgers. That's 4-3.
That would be 4-3.
And you're good with that. A winning West Coast road trip against the two best teams out West.
But zap of energy. Lightning bolt. Look at this. Andrew Fisher. Come on, baby. Just do it. Just do it. Why not? Just do it. Oh, you might kill his confidence. Come on. That kid? Not much is going to kill that kid's confidence with what we know of him so far. All right, we'll go to Cousin Tim. Been a while, Cousin Tim in Racine, Caledonia, wherever you live. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, are you guys off the internet now or something?
We are. Yeah, there's some issues going on. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm kind of glad I'm not on video today. Just.
Hey, but no, I got one thing to say. You know you're a Brewer fan, right? If your nails are bloody.
Yeah, if you're picking and biting and chewing. God, all of these games are just, can you give me a couple runaway wins?
Yeah, no kidding, hey.
Hey, by the way, my sister Tanya is tuned in right now. She's on her way back from Madison. And She's a huge, huge Brewers fan. She listens to the show all the time, and Cousin Tim, you're one of her favorite callers.
Well, that's good. How old is she?
Well, younger than you and married.
Well, I'm only 58, going to be 59. But, hey, the thing is, did Aaron Ashby get the win today?
No,
he did not.
Okay, so does it work? Like, I see, I get confused with that sometimes. Just, you know, so who got the win, McGill?
Whoever gets the last out in a tie ball game in the top half of that inning at home.
So deal.
When you're at home. So whoever got that last out.
All right, because I don't know, man. I get confused. I
think
don't know
it's
why.
A dumb rule. I think it's a really, really dumb rule. For example, a pitcher could go 4 1/3 of one-run ball, 4 2/3 of one-run ball.
Okay.
Because it's tied at one, there could be a reliever come in and get one out. And then you all score right in the bottom half, and he gets the win. Wait a second. He recorded one out. I recorded, you know, 4 2/3, and I gave up one run, and I'm not the pitcher of record. But that's just a thing for me.
Okay, well, you see, the reason why I kind of said what I said first is because Uribe got me going, man, with Ashby. Ashby did, and then Uribe, McGill really didn't today. So, it's you know what? It's like someone is going to get your nails bloody today or your fingers bloody.
I mean, this bullpen has been outstanding.
But they have, and I'm going to totally agree with you, Tim, 100%, that if it wasn't for them, we probably would have lost.
Oh, sure, for sure. Hell yeah.
And then, but I've been really thinking, you know, I had to take a little break because I'm thinking, okay, with Bauer, but boy, I mean, if you could get Contreras going, with Bauer going, because Cheerio's hot, because he's had his Wheaties. He's been eating his Wheaties. And he's had his Rice Krispie Treats.
Ram's starting to warm up pretty nice. But,
yeah, with some Rice Krispie Treats, you know, with the marshmallows. Oh, my God. And Terangi. Oh, my God. It'd be really great. It'd be really good.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim. Well, oh, he's gone? Yeah.
Yep.
I think he is. Bill, how about Captain Bill? Hopefully you're not sleeping. Beautiful.
No, I'm not sleeping.
Okay. A little weather maybe in your area up there in Iron River?
Oh, actually, I'm sitting on my deck. It's 78 degrees. I've got a Royal on the rocks. Second time I did that this year because
beautiful.
It felt like I told Aaron, it felt like I'd been to the dentist three times this weekend. I mean, they won 2 out of 3, but boy, it seemed painful. Wow. But
certain rallies did appear a little painful. Yes, I will agree. But they took 3 of 4. I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they put a fork in their season.
Yeah, they sure did.
They kind of did, and you're going to see probably them tailing off. They've been battling injuries too. Minnesota Twins here. This is a series they really, really wanted. I mean, they needed.
Yeah.
They're in a heated race.
Well, they're fighting for a wild card spot for sure.
You bet.
Yeah, but I just wanted to call in and say that I think this is a great win today. And something I'd like to point out: we complain about the Brewers just pitiful with runners in scoring position. The Twins weren't a heck of a lot better today, were they?
No, not at all. I mean, these pitchers threw really good pitches when they had to.
Yep. The other thing I would say about this upcoming series, I'm concerned about tomorrow because I'm sure that Uribe and McGill are not going to be able to.
You could make the argument that Ashby, Uribe, and McGill, none of them are available tomorrow.
Yep. So it'd be nice if they could. It'd be nice if they could lay a snowman on the Padres tomorrow.
There we go. All right, good deal. Enjoy the beverage and the cigar today.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
See you, Bill. I mean, you know the Brewers. The Brewers are not going to have a runaway win tomorrow. It's not happening.
Nope.
It's going to be.
They'll probably sit on the plane for 5 hours before they go out to San Diego. And
3-2-4-3-5-4-4-4-3-3. That, you know, it's going to be like that tomorrow. You can't.
Yep.
Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're next, and then we'll get Pipe Bomb in here after the break. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, Tim. Hey, Aaron. Sorry, I called you Sparky, by the way, when you screened my call. But, hey, here's what I want to say. Did this not feel to you, Tim, like a World Series kind of game, let alone playoff? Because this actually felt like three or four games in one game for me.
This series felt like a postseason game. Yes, it really did. These are real strategic stuff going on, real intense. I agree.
And I bet you that we won't see the last of Derek Shelton before. I'm just going to put it out there, you know, Brewers, Twins, bold predictions. But here's what I want to say. Two things, actually. Offense wins games, but defense also wins games. Mm-hmm. And we saw that today in Luis Lara. And Tim, this is my last thing. Do all the guys who want to say, oh, I wish we would have gotten Skubal, I wish we would have gotten, you know, such and such over the years. Yeah, but if you would have, you know, sold out on some of your guys, you wouldn't have the Luis Laras of the world. You wouldn't have, you know, some of these other, the whoever your Fisher kid is, Tim, you know, of the world. And so the Brewers have always been, and this is the way I like it actually, draft and develop, or develop, you know, other the players that other teams have drafted, so you can develop them, work them into your system. So that's all I want to say, Tim.
All right, Greg. Yeah. Great hearing from you, Greg. Thank you. Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people agree with you. They do. The Bryce Terangs of the world, when he was a prospect, had they gone for it in a given year and moved him, you don't get Bryce Terang. I mean, there's an example right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sal Frelick. I mean, Aaron Ashby. I mean, these guys are getting the job done for this team right now. And sometimes it can be a little dicey. You're on thin ice. You're ready to crack through. But it doesn't break through. They get the win today in 10 innings, 4-3, the final. We'll take a break, come back. Pipe Bomb on the way. Also, Pat Murphy on the way. Still a lot to get to before the show is over at 6 o'clock. So stick around. His name is Aaron Morse. My name is Tim Allen. You're listening to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. All right, welcome back. A Brewers 10-inning, 4-3 victory to take the game, the series, and end that homestand with a 5-2 mark. And it's the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen, Aaron Morse. Aaron, you're going to be on the air talking a little Brewers baseball tomorrow morning, correct?
Yep. I'll have the 6 o'clock hour. You'll join me for the 7 o'clock hour, and then Zabe will have the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning.
Okay, so I'm back with you guys at 7 a.m. tomorrow. No jury duty.
No jury.
Thrown out of court. Yeah, but the
get
Brewers,
out of here.
They get the win. I don't know if you know. I've heard a lot about, you know, make hay, and I've probably thought it and may have said it a time or two, you make hay against these teams that you probably should beat, okay? Pittsburgh Pirates, you took 3 of 4. You're at home. You probably should have done that. The Minnesota Twins, they can fight you. They'll bite you. But you ended up taking 2 of 3. Why is that important? Well, because you're heading out west to San Diego and L.A., build a cushion a little bit, or is that sort of this inferior mentality that you should have to build this, because you're playing those guys out there? See what I'm saying? I don't know if that's the right way to do it. I'm not sure, because this team is 30 games over 500. I don't know. I'm a little torn on that part of it. Let's find out our buddy, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. Pipe Bomb, is that sort of a loser, not a loser mentality, but an inferior situational mentality, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, and yeah, it kind of is. You know, we overhyped these West Coast road trips. You know, I know that there have been times that history hasn't been kind to us out there on the left coast. But like you said, we're 30 games over. Those teams are chasing us. So we should be going out there with a hell of a lot of confidence, especially when the team that we love and cheer for every day, they're not playing their best baseball, haven't played their best baseball yet all season, and are still 30 games over.
That's the crazy part of it, and that is the mark of any team anywhere. Hey, you could be coming back from your travel ball tournament right now. If you're in the car and you caught the game and you're listening to the show now, you know, if you didn't play well, but yet you still won, that says something. That says something at any level, especially in professional sports. At 74-44, you head out to San Diego with a bullpen that has been amazing. I mean, let's face it. They really have been. I mean, Murph has been, you know, it's one of the things, Pipe Bomb, you know this. I said that one of the biggest assets that Craig Counsell had was his handling of pitching changes and matchups. And at that time, it was, you know, no DH in play. So you had to do double switches, and you had to know when to take your starter out, when to go to relief, all those things. Murphy is getting pretty darn good at those matchups, when to place Uribe in the seventh and Ashby in the eighth, or Ashby in the seventh and Uribe in the eighth. He's been pretty good, and it seems to be getting better.
Yeah, he's been very good, and I don't know who you're referring to with Greg. I've never met anybody named Greg, but Murphy's doing a great job. The bullpen absolutely lights out. A lot of traffic. It's not always pretty, but that's the thing, you know. And I'm the last person to tell anybody how to fan. But there's a whole lot of negativity surrounding a team that's 30 games over. And, you know, has it been pretty every game? No. I agree with the dude who said, Cousin Tim, who said he's got no fingernails left. I don't either. But they keep stacking wins, and that's all you can ask for. So, you know, it's really hard for me to sit there and get too negative on the guys, because at the end of the day, the results are the results, and they just keep winning.
All right, so we had talked a little bit prior to the game's end of strategy and extra innings. And how many years has it been now? Is this the third year or fourth? I mean, they're starting to just fly by here.
Yeah, I want to say it's three, but who
cares? At first, we knew we had to take a step back, because you and I were doing the show at the time. We knew we had to, and we admitted it. We had to take a step back, and we had to figure out the strategy of this thing in extra innings. And the more these situations come up, not just with the Brewers, but all around baseball, I tend to believe that I'm not in agreement with, when you're on the road, you always play for the big crooked number. I don't think I can agree with that. I like leads, and occasionally I would play for one run. If I'm the visiting team, top half of the inning, meaning the other guys, that home team still has a shot at you. But nonetheless, I like a lead. I don't need a hit to get the lead right now. And think about that. With all the traffic you had mentioned, you know, so there's one runner on. It's like a leadoff double in the bottom half. But if I have the lead, I feel a little bit better about winning a baseball game when I have a lead. I'm just saying, I that works for me. But it depends on who's coming up in their order, who's pitching for you in the bottom half, because you're going to have to go ahead and face, you know, the Twins, for example, had to face the Brewers batting in the bottom of the 10th inning. Who's coming up, what those matchups are, what those splits are, etc. But is it a misnomer, Pipe Bomb, that someone in authority said you always play for the crooked number as the visiting team? Is that a misnomer?
You know, I think you can play for one if every number lines up in your favor. if that you're the visiting team and the team you're playing, their bullpen ERA sucks. You know that most of they've used and burned through most of their good guys by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't have a problem, playing for one because you know you're going up against the weak guys the rest of the way. But on the flip side, I think the way that the Twins today played the bottom of the 10th, walking Mitchell right away, and instead of just a runner at second, now you had two on, and then the inning begins. I like that. That's how I would do it almost every single time.
I agree. Now, Mitchell could have bunted over, and then you just walk Contreras to set up that double play. So you could have done it that way, too. But I'm with you. Almost always, I just walk the guy. I'm setting up the double play immediately. That's that.
If you have the hand matchup, would you maybe face that first guy and walk the second guy? Would you take your chances, or
sure,
would you walk him no matter what?
Either way, I would take a look at both because, you know, with runners at the corners with one out, you know, you got a chance to get out of the inning with a double play ground ball. So the other thing, you're the home team, and you hold the guys off the board in the top half. How in the world you're not bunting over the runners? And again, you let Murphy let Contreras swing away there.
Mm-hmm.
You got. This shouldn't play into it, but it certainly did for me. He's not on a good roll right now, guys. He's just not. He had the 3-run walk off 3 weeks ago, so I'll give him that. But what has he done since? When you're not on a good roll, and he struck out on 3 pitches, you probably should have bunted over and then take your chances there. But even tied in the bottom half, you don't have these guys mandating a bunt.
Yeah, which is weird because you saw G Money with the bunt and then immediately followed by Alexander Hamilton, who was bunting for a hit. It went down as a sacrifice. So there were two bunts a couple innings earlier, back-to-back. Obviously it would be weird to sit there and put a bunt down with Contreras because we've seen him do amazing things. We know the power that's in there, but like you said, he is struggling mightily. And not a good look striking out on 3 straight right there.
Yeah, it was tough. So the Brewers 74-44. They're going to hit the road, San Diego, L.A., and the beat goes on for this team. Let's see, 44 games left here in the 26th championship season.
Going 40, too quick.
Oh, it's going way too quick. Slow it all down. So let's do the math. Aaron, you're the smart one of us three.
Amen.
To get to 100 victories.
26-18.
I think that's doable, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if they start hitting their stride a little bit here. You know, the RISP has just been pathetic lately.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, they just keep on winning. You get a bad start here and there, and they just keep on winning. So, you know, this team has shown just the bounce back ability of this squad has been just amazing all season long.
Finally, would it be an opportunity to bring up another prospect? I mean, you got Cooper Pratt up. You have Luis Lara up now that injuries are hitting. Cooper Pratt on under the IL. Joey Ortiz all banged up. Would you risk it? Another young dude, higher end guy, to play the left side there?
Yeah, why not? You know. Basically, it seems like every move the Brewers have made so far has turned to gold. So why not sit there and take another chance? Pratt, I think, has either met or exceeded expectations. Lara, the same thing. Let's hope he's okay after the second amazing catch today when he was kind of, you know, looked like he went knee first into the outfield wall there. But yeah, why not, man? Everybody they've called up has been great.
All right. That's just big time that these guys are winning without playing their best ball. And that's the biggest news here, because the timing might be right for these guys to do something special down the stretch. All right. Has anybody noticed Luis Renjifo?
He's playing good.
Screw that guy.
Why? I was
because he was, I was awful.
The president of his fan club.
He was awful, and then he goes to the Padres. They put him in the two hole in left field, and he just starts hitting again. Give me a break.
Well, then you should be happy, Aaron, because we're going to sit there and go up against him three times.
Yeah, and he's going to hit six homers in a three-game series.
Yeah. Look out for Luis Renjifo starting tomorrow night. I mean, don't you think he's got something to prove?
Well, of course he does, because he went from Renjifo to he got to go. And, you know, I'm happy, obviously, for him that he's turned it around a little bit. Hopefully he goes into a nice three-game slump here. But after we leave San Diego, let him get hot and keep the pressure on the Dodgers out there.
Yeah, that's true, because I'm assuming they've got a lot of matchups left as well. All right, Pipe Bomb, got to turn you loose, got to get to Murph, but enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, boys, you too. Appreciate you.
There's Pipe Bomb, the leader of the Pipe Bombers. Yep. All right. Do you want a break or you want to go into Murph? What do we want to do here?
It's probably best if we probably hit a break and then we can get Murph, and
okay,
that'll be the end of the post game.
Then we'll reset. Yeah, reset. We'll get to Murph after the break here. Get to our insurance run of the game as well. Brewers get the victory in 10-4-3, the final. It's the Pottawatomie Sportsbook post game show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen, Aaron Morris. They finish up the Twins taking 2 of 3, finish up the homestand going 5-2 after 3 out of 4 against the Pirates, and 30 games over 500 and loving it. Stick around.
Who gave the crew some breathing room? What play was it? It's time for the insurance run of the game, brought to you by G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance, on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
In sports, you want a teammate who's been there before, and in Wisconsin, that teammate is G2 Insurance Services. They aren't just an agency, they're your friend in insurance. Whether you're a business owner needing a specialized BOP or a homeowner protecting your family, G2 builds relationships on honesty and value. From auto and home to complex commercial coverage, Tom and the team at G2 have been the neighborhood pros since 2004. Don't get caught without a game plan. Call G2 Insurance Services today at 262-784-04. Check that. We want to get you the main number, 784-0644, or visit g2ins.com. G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance. It was a 10-inning, 4-3 victory. And by the way, we're going to hear from Pat Murphy. He said it was the best team win he's seen this year. Okay, I'm ready to hear that, because a lot of people contributed. Could that be because he thought he might have lost about 17 different times in this game? Maybe.
Probably.
But here's your insurance run of the game as heard on Brewers TV in the bottom of the 10th.
1-2. Bowers. Base hit. Here comes Terang. Here comes the throw. Terang. He's safe. He's safe. And the Brewers win. And it's over. Call is confirmed. Jake Bowers with a walk-off single, and the Brewers beat the Twins 4-3.
The game is over, and it's time to hear from the skipper on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
I mean, this was, in my mind, the best team win in a long, long time. It wasn't the best played. It wasn't perfect. The Twins are really, really good ball club. They have great, great pitching. Their offense is very aggressive, very capable, and that's why they're in position they're in. The guy managing the team knows what he's doing. He's really thoughtful and anyway, I mean, I look down, everyone here contributed. I mean, there was, you know, from fun Yelich going into pinch run, you know what I mean? And being willing to do that because it was the best for the team, and Contreras willing to catch the last inning after he's caught, you know, 9 out of 11 games. And those guys aren't going great, but their willingness to do whatever the team asks, unbelievable. He just found out he was active like literally 40 minutes before the game, and comes up and executes a base hit bunt and gets a sack down, plays an important second base. Hamilton's big double. Gary Sanchez, what he did. You know, just all sorts of great things, all contributors. Ashby had to get 5 outs because of the way the ball bounced. Uribe with a big outing. McGill, that wasn't their sharpest and best, but they did it. And then D.L. Hall, what he did. You know, we all expect Miz to go 6 shutout every time. It's just not – no pitcher does that. Who's the guy that the Dodgers just signed? Who's the big guy that's – Cy Young. What's his name?
Derek Skubal.
Skubal. All right, yeah. That guy, he doesn't throw shutout every time, you know. Mitchell coming off the bench, getting a base hit. Churio, Terang, you know, is normal, playing shortstop the last 3 innings. Vaughn playing third base and making, you know, whatever number of plays he made. That was just a great team effort. And to see everybody contribute, Lockridge making his first start in 3 months or whatever it was. You know, Lara's catches. How about that? How about Lara's catches in the corner? Bowers, what can you say? Homer and the walk-off, you know, and 2 walks. It's a pretty good day. Pretty good day for a guy that's been banged up. Play right, play first, play against lefties, doesn't matter. Yeah, that's picking each other up. It's a great team win. Yeah.
What is it say for Lara? The way he's been able to navigate right field in such a short time.
Yeah. I mean, he's a ball player, man. That's why the organization made a long-term commitment to him, because he's a ball player. And not swinging the bat the way, like, he's not comfortable. You come to the big leagues as however old he is, 21 years old, it's tough. I liken it to be on roller skates, you know, and not be concrete on the ground like the rest of us. And it's tough to navigate and keep bouncing back. And he's working on an 0-for-4 game and makes that incredible catch. Gives up his body and makes that catch. That's why he's earned his keep. You know, he's winning the trust of his players. It's hard to do. You know, these guys want to win, and you're a young player coming up. You got to earn that trust. So I thought Lara was great. I think Gary Sanchez, underrated, man. Underrated the job that Gary's done all year for us. Hamilton coming into his own. D.L. Hall, look at that inning he pitched. You know?
Or having seen Lara near the wall as he's figuring out where that is in right field in the big leagues, does that play
stand? Oh, both of those plays, you know, both of those plays he got, you know, it's tough to navigate. We're so used to having the best right fielder in the game and Sal, that with Sal's injury, you worry about. That's why I didn't put him in center today. Lara, he's very capable of center field, but I didn't put him in the center because I want him to just keep getting more and more comfortable in right field.
With all the injuries you're already dealing with, help. What's going through your mind when you see him kind of limping there after making that spectacular catch?
Nothing shocks me 115 games in or whatever we are. You know, nothing shocks me. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to go through swoons, and we're going to get them back. We're going to get them back.
Miz hitting 200 Ks faster than only one pitcher in MLB history. I mean,
is that what it was?
Yeah, Spencer Strider's the only one he fell by 6 innings.
He's a fascinating young man, and to have him handle all this the way he's handling it solidifies in my mind who this kid is. You know, like, he's got a long way to go as a pitcher, guys. He's got a long way to go. But, you know, there's flashes of such brilliance that you're just like shaking your head, like, wow. You know? He handles it very well. Really proud of the kid. Really proud of the kid. We're banged up as a team can be. And we're going into a 7-game stretch against two of the best teams in the National League. And That's just the way it is on the road. Maybe we'll come together even more. I don't know, but it's been, you know, this win today was really, really solidified in my mind what a great bunch we have. Keep their poise the way they did. And like I said, not everybody's. I mean, we got two of our best players, basically our 3 and 4 hole hitter, you know, having a tough couple 6-7 weeks, you know what I mean? And still, guys rally around him. Next man up, Hamilton played short, then he played third. He hadn't played short in a whole lot. G1, I don't know when the last time he played. I didn't know we had him until yesterday, and played today. Yeah. Lockridge has been in the cooler. He hadn't played. Sanchez only plays once in a while, comes through so much, it's amazing. Yeah.
When Yelich is pinch running, and you mentioned Contreras feeling to catch that tenth inning, how much of an example does that set for other guys, you know, coming into your team and just seeing that and going?
These guys play to win, and they do whatever it takes. And yourself isn't first. It's not about me. It's not about Yelly. It's not about Contreras. It's about us. And that's why I'm so excited about the win. When would you ever ask your superstar, to the guy that's won two MVPs, when would you ask him to pinch run in a game? Why don't I pinch it there for Gary? Why are you pinch running me? You know, again, that's team. That's, hey, just, it's not my job to coach a team, manage a team. My job's to do what I'm asked to do. That willingness tells me a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. Really, really interesting. Yeah, we didn't mention the quickest to 200 strikeouts was Jacob Mizrowski, except for one pitcher, Strider, back in 22. That's amazing. And dude's just flat out good. We all know that. But the best team win... everyone pitched in this game. There's no doubt. All right, that's going to do it for us. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. And Aaron will be on tomorrow morning, bright and surly at 6, right?
I will be.
And I'll join you at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow we've got game one of a 3-game series in San Diego. Leadoff show is going to get you ready. Some late-night Brewers conversation.
Late night.
But always impressive how many people stay up and participate with the show on that. It's really kind of cool. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. You guys have, and my cleat Boyer glove now 5-1.
Let's go.
Since the good luck charm was busted out.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow, and remember, smile, Wisconsin. Bob Uecker and Cleet Boyer are smiling back.